Father, we're grateful to call you Abba Father, our Father. So we pray, Lord, that our government will honor you. We pray for the souls of those who serve in government tonight. We pray for our president. We pray that they will receive mercy and grace from you, Lord. We don't know who are Christians and who are not, Lord, but we pray for saving grace. We pray that they will realize that the only thing this country really needs is Jesus Christ. We pray for one another. Lord, some of us here tonight might have difficulties they face. We pray that you will just help them, that you will surround them with your love and your peace, and your strength will be their portion, and that they will receive help from up high. Lord, as we look at your word tonight, help us to understand, help us to celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are indeed the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, Ascension Day is a day of celebration. It should be a day of celebration, right? Should be a day where we rejoice and we find a lot of joy in the fact that Jesus has ascended. And tonight I want to take you to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're just going to read a few verses there. At the end of the chapter, in verse 50, we find a short description of what happened that faithful day. Luke 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. That's a kind of a wonderful picture, isn't it? When you kind of try to mentally, you know, visualize that and mentally try to remember what must that have looked like. These bunch of people who followed Jesus from 3 years ago, they were called by him that day. The fishermen, they have traveled with him ever since, good times and bad times. They have seen him teaching. They have seen miracles that was just wow. They have also seen him die on a cross and resurrected. And now we get to a place where Jesus is leaving. Now, when you talk about someone leaving, usually that's not good news. I don't like saying goodbye. You know, I'm the kind of guy trying to avoid it. There must be a way to avoid saying goodbye. When AJ and them left, we say goodbye, but I avoided the airport goodbye. Because I'm a crybaby. It's one of the things I hate about myself. I'll just cry. And I'm a big, strong Afrikaans dude, but when it comes to goodbyes, I cry. And it's sad because, you know, you're going to miss people. They're leaving. But sometimes there's joy as well. And tonight I want to ask the question and just make the statement and talk about the joy that the ascension brings. Because the ascension brought joy to these people in biblical times, the disciples, but it should also bring joy to us. We see that it brings joy to Jesus. It brings joy to Jesus, doesn't it? It brings joy to Jesus because he's going home. He's going back to be with the Father. John 14:28 says, "You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father." Jesus loved the Father. I mean, you read the Gospels. You just see Jesus loved the Father. He loved being around the Father. He loved obeying the Father. They have a special relationship. The other day I was fetching my sister and her husband from the airport. They were in Cape Town, flew back. They went to Mauritius and got a boat in Mauritius, went to Cape Town. One of those vacations I'm really jealous about and will probably never enjoy. But nevertheless, I went to fetch them like a good brother should. And at the airport, have you been at the airport lately? And I always like to come early and just hang around and see when people, you know, see their loved ones after a long while. Well, you never know. And it's always so cute. And sometimes it's kind of sad. And people are running towards one another and they're crying and giving hugs. And I remember this particular evening, there was a grand and a grandpa, opa and oma, and they were waiting for their children and grandchildren. The next moment, you see these two little boys, I don't know what age, running, seeing grandma and grandpa, and running like, yes, and they jump in grandma and grandfather's arms, and there's just joy. And granny is just so happy to see them. And they're like, oh, how are you? You've grown so much. You can just, what a wonderful homecoming. Can you imagine what went on in heaven when Jesus came back after the ascension? Can you imagine the celebration? The Bible says when one soul comes to faith, there's a party, there's a celebration in heaven. Can you imagine what went on when the one who made it possible for people to get saved came back? Must have been a feast. Angels rejoicing, everybody, trumpets blowing. Victorious return of the Son. So Jesus wasn't sad to go because he was going back to heaven. That's a good deal. He was God and he was going back to the Father. But it also brings joy to us, his children. In the first instance, I think it brings joy because it was fantastic to see the way Jesus ascended or the way Jesus left. There are many ways that Jesus could have gone. He could have disappeared or, I don't know, he could have done many things. But he ascended. And now you old people, and I'm referring to everybody over 10 years old, you have lost the sense of marvel and amazement that Jesus ascended. He flew, in my boys' kind of words. It was an amazing way to go. And it must have been, you know, if that happened today, we would talk about that. We would talk about Jesus, just no jetpack on the back, no, you know, special effects. Jesus, he just went up in the air. And we shouldn't misread that. We shouldn't just read that and forget that. That's amazing, man. That's God's power at work. That's not normal. I don't know if you've ever seen a guy, you know, ascending. I've never seen that happen. So it's fantastic. It's showing off God's power. I think must have had an impact on the disciples. They were filled with joy because Jesus will return again. Jesus would return again. We know in Acts 1:11, the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." When someone leaves and you know they're coming back, it's not that bad. Well, it is kind of bad depending on how long they go, but we'll get there later. But at least there's hope, isn't there? There's joy because he'll return the same way. Jesus himself said in John 14, "And I will go and prepare a place for you." You know, interesting, that's singular, you. And you, he went to prepare a place for you. That's personal. "And I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." That should give us joy that one day Jesus will come for us and we will go to heaven. And that's going to be very, very cool and fantastic. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9. "Though you have not seen him," this is Peter who saw Jesus going up in the air. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and reject with joy believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of our souls. There's joy. Even though we didn't see Jesus ascend, even though we have never seen him face to face, there's joy because we know he will return. He will come back. We can rejoice about the ascending because it's good for us. It's good for us. You know, when AJ and Ivan left, it was sad. They're going to do mission work in Japan. They will leave for 4 years. But not so sad that they were going to do mission work, right? Kind of, that was a good thing. We are partners with them in the way they will do gospel ministry and people will get saved. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. One of the amazing things of these verses is that Jesus blessed them. And he led them as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them. I think it's significant that while Jesus was busy blessing him, he ascended. What an overwhelming positive and faith-building way to leave while blessing them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, we don't know if that is what Jesus said, but it was a blessing of some sort. And I think that's a very positive way to just go. That final, I'm going while I'm blessing you. And that must have left a mark in the hearts of the disciples. Jesus blessed them and there was joy. It's almost like Jesus is saying that leaving is a blessing. Because good things were to come. Because he sends the Holy Spirit. We know that's the good thing about Jesus going, is the Holy Spirit took his place. He sent us the Holy Spirit. John 14, 25, 27. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. It's wonderful that we have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? God lives in us. That's something to rejoice about. And often I forget that. When I sin, I forget that because, you know, how can you sin if the Holy Spirit is in your heart? I forget about that when I feel like I can't do anything. I need power. I'm just feel powerless. I forget that God's Spirit lives in me. When we're praying for people who are not saved and they just seem to be far away from God, and I'm praying and praying and nothing is happening, I forget that the Holy Spirit lives in me and I should keep on testifying. The Spirit of God lives us, and that's good. We should have joy in the ascension because the perfect work of Christ came to completion. Hebrews 10, I don't know if you've read this, Hebrews 10, verse 11 and 12. It's really a fantastic passage. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. This is now the priest back in the Old Testament, just sacrificing every day, standing there sacrificing, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all times a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Do you notice something in those verses? The priest, and every priest stands daily at his service. Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice of sins. He sat down. It's finished. The work is done. These people were standing and just doing service, and it was great. It was fantastic, but it could never forgive sins. Then Jesus came, and when he ascended, we read he went to sit on the right hand of God. That's where he went to. And that's why the ascension is so important, that when Jesus took that place, it was done. And so we sometimes live like Jesus has left the building and the building is now on fire. That all hope is gone because Jesus is not here. We sometimes feel like we should continue his work now. And it puts a weight on us as people and as a church, as if it is up to us to continue Christ's work on earth. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should not obey and there's nothing to be done. I'm saying Christ's work was complete. The moment he sat down on that throne, it was complete. I mean, even on the cross he said, it is done. It's complete. This is over. This is finished. I've done it. But the ascension into heaven was just a cherry on the cake. When he sat down, it was done. And it's important to have the right doctrine when it comes to the ascension. Because the ascension of Christ and taking up his seat on the right hand of God is as a signal, a flare that goes up in the night that said that Christ's work was perfect. He sat down. He could do what none of us could do. And therefore, we are free. Sometimes as Christians, we don't feel very free. That's you feel like there's rules, man. There's no freedom in Christianity. Because I beg to differ. There's freedom in Christ. Freedom from sin and guilt. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from unknown future. We know there is freedom for Christians. And many Christians feel like God is up there somewhere and he's just disappointed with you all the time. You can't do anything right. You're never going to get to that standard. But it should bring us joy to understand that we live in a light of what Christ did, of what Jesus did, and who he was. And so you and I will never be able to live up to the expectations of a holy God. Never. We could never. But Jesus could, and he did on our behalf. And that's the beauty of what Jesus did. Because now, remember, when the Father looks at you and me, he looks at us through Jesus. And what he sees is beautiful. Even though we aren't. Because Jesus did a good job on the cross. His work was complete. Because he is holy, we look holy. So it is one of those things that it's done, but we still have things to do. You guys get that? Shake your head if you get it. Good, you're still awake? Good. So when we see that we have freedom in Christ, and we also remember that Christ is the one that mediates on our behalf, and we heard it in the prayer earlier. And that should bring joy to our hearts, you know. Sometimes when my kids have friends over and they want to do something that they know I'll say no, that I've said no to in the past, they'll send the buddy to come and mediate. So this friend will come to me and say, Lucky, can we please? And then my boys are standing just in the corner like nothing is happening. And they are hoping that these kids, this chummy of them, will soften my heart. And sometimes it does, to be honest. You know, it's like they don't want to disappoint their friend. They're just here now. And they've made this plan. And well, that's silly. But I tell you what's not silly is that Jesus is in heaven right now, mediating on our behalf. At Hebrews 7:25, listen to this. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives. Now listen here. What are you living for? Listen what Jesus is living for. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that great? He lives to make intercession for us. We know Romans 8:33 and 34 so well. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Hey, man, if something should bring joy about the fact that Jesus ascended, it is that he is mediating on your behalf. Jesus actually guarantees that we will always have a sympathetic ear to a sympathetic access to the Father, that the Father will always listen to our prayers because of Christ Jesus, that we can near the throne of grace with just being confidence, with confidence near the throne of grace. That's good news. And that should bring joy to your heart. There's lots of people that I don't want to mediate for me. You know, there's some people that are good lawyers and others aren't good lawyers. Who knows who Gerry Nell is? He's this weird guy that put Oscar Pistorius away. Everybody knows who Gerry Nell is. Why? Because he was this lawyer that was very good. And who knows who Barry Roo is? This is the guy that defended Oscar, who didn't do so well, apparently. Can I tell you, you've got the best mediator in the universe. You have the one who knows everything, who has all power given in heaven and on earth, acting on your behalf. Now, I want you to remember that when you sit in your room and you feel that God has forgotten you, when you feel there's no hope, I want you to remember that if you confess your sins and you surrender your life to Christ, in other words, if you're a Christian, Jesus is on your side and he is interceding on your behalf. Your humanity is summed up in who Christ is. We shouldn't be defined by who we are on this earth as people, what car you drive, what job you have, what status you have, what money you have, what should be our identity is that we are children of the high God. And lastly, we see that they had joy because they worshiped God. And the ascension of Christ brought to their minds worship. They were worshiping Jesus. I mean, they just saw this whole history, redemptive history, play out in front of them. All the things Jesus did, he died on the cross, raised from the dead, and how he's ascending up into heaven. And it must have been unbelievable. And what else could they do? And what else can we do but worship? And I want to tell you, worship brings joy to a Christian's heart like nothing else on this planet. I have seen, it's just a simple practical example, Paul and Silas in jail. They were worshiping God, weren't they? I mean, I would think that's not a nice place to sit in jail at night and dark and in a dungeon and it's wet and it wasn't a nice place. But they were filled with joy because they were worshiping. Because you see, when we are worshiping Christ, we forget about all the rest of the stuff that's going on in our life. And life makes sense. Life has purpose. Life has meaning because of Christ Jesus as we worship him. And that's not just, I mean, it was great just now when we sang these wonderful songs. Man, I love singing and worshiping God with you guys. I think there's something special when God's people gather and we worship together in song. But worship is much more than that, right? Worship is when I go home, what happens at home? Do I worship God in the way I do my job? Am I a hard worker? Am I an example? Am I worshiping God in the way I drive? Am I worshiping God in the way I testify to others? I see people all the time that are miserable because their lives is just about them. And when your life is just about you, you see that you are not that great. and things are not that great. But when you look at Jesus and you see him for who he is, the risen, ascended God, that turns things around for me. So let us keep our eyes on Jesus. You know that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Look full in his wonderful face. Yeah, you guys think I don't know hymns. Is that a hymn? I don't even know. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light. Yes. So let's do that tonight. Let's see Jesus, who we are. You know, we are beneficiaries of Christ's ascension. And I want you to know that tonight. You're a beneficiary of the fact that Jesus Christ went to heaven, sat down on the right hand of God, and you are called a son and daughter of the Almighty God. Man, there's lots to be rejoicing today. I like celebrating. I don't know about you, but I always look for a reason to celebrate something, because I think that's the way our God is, you know. He wants us to celebrate, and this is a day of celebration. So can I ask that maybe just two or three of us pray, and we're not going to pray and ask for anything now. This is just praising God and lifting up the name of Jesus. So just maybe a handful of us, short prayers, not long prayers, one or two lines, and then I'll close in prayer for us. Lord, we want to proclaim that you are victorious, that you have overcome, and that you are indeed above all things, that nothing and no one can ever compare to you, Lord, that you are unique, almighty, all-powerful, and Lord, that when it comes to our hearts, we want you to reign. We want to honor you with our lives, Lord. We want to live lives that bring glory to your name, and Father, that when you look at us, that you are just smiling and happy to see what we are doing. But Lord, thank you that it's not because of us, but it's because of Jesus and what he did. Oh, thank you for the perfect work of Christ, that we do not have to live lives that are just full of guilt and shame, but that we are able to live lives as conquerors, Lord. In fact, the Bible calls us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Thank you that nothing will separate us from your love, that you love us in an amazing way. And Lord, we pray as we go home tonight that we will have a sense of excitement in our hearts, remembering that one day, maybe even today, maybe tomorrow, Lord, Jesus will come again. And we can't wait for that day, Lord. Until that day, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.